Some movies, and this is a 1, 2, 3 podcast.
It's a 1, 2, 3 podcast.
Lights, camera, action. Lights, camera, action.
Yeah.
I was podcast.
Like, 3, 2, 1, blast off.
It's the monthly movie podcast for February
2019.
Of me and Jason. I'm Scott.
And I'm Jason. What is happening?
This year I'm trying to watch the 52 funniest movies of all time and ones that I haven't seen already.
We're watching the funniest movies and we took off ones we've already seen.
Yeah, or ones I have seen but I haven't watched in so long that my taste of humor has definitely changed.
Yeah.
So
let's start with those. And then after that we'll talk about other movies we saw, as well as ending with a new thing that we're trying this year. If you haven't listened to January, we started on that one.
We don't have a special name for it. It's called the Reading a Book by Its Cover. Book by Its Cover? Movie by Its Cover? What's it called?
Poster. don't judge a book by its cover.
Don't judge a book by its poster.
Don't judge a movie by its poster. We'll come up with some clever.
Anyway,
maybe that could be a contest later.
Yeah, contest.
We'll think it up.
Hey, welcome to the first movie we watched this month.
So we're just gonna start with the funny movies.
I swear to God, Cat.
Yeah, he just wants to color.
He's rubbing.
He just likes boxes. He wants to get in the box. The
box is right there, but you don't have to rub it on. Is it?
Yeah, he does.
What was the first thing you watched, Jason?
We watched the Pink Panther from 1963.
That's right, Peter Sellers.
With Inspector Clouseau.
He
is funny.
He's funny. All right, next movie.
So we didn't watch the remake with Steve Martin. We watched the original.
I'm sorry.
Peter Sellers, right? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
And in case you've never seen the Pink Panther before, or you just remember the cartoons, Pink Panther is the name of the jewel.
Yeah.
Because there's a defect in it that looks like there's a pink panther in it.
Yeah, it's
so this thing. This rare gem is called the Pink Panther, and it's about this person who wants to steal it.
Currently, it's in the news because this one princess of this she's a princess, and she's like, the jewel belongs to me, and everyone's like, no, it belongs
to the people.
And there's this jewel thief who's like, I'm going to steal this. And then Clouseau is like, I'm going to try to find out what's happening. Because the plot in this movie didn't feel like it was all
fleshed out.
Yeah, it wasn't fleshed out much. It felt like, hey, we're gonna put all these things in and we're going to assume the audience will know what's happening. Because a lot of it takes place at like a ski resort that the princess is at, and you follow like the villain of the movie, I guess you could say, for majority of the movie. And so
okay, my question, I'm like remembering this this movie horribly.
Yeah.
It isn't stolen yet.
He's trying to steal it,
but Clouseau's there because he knows someone's going to steal it.
I believe so. I forgot already.
Because all these people were... It was like a hotel.
It was like a ski resort.
Yeah. And I guess maybe they're bodyguards and watching.
Yeah, because he's trying to steal it, but like, then there gets to a
people
point...
People are listening and getting angry.
Yeah. He's trying to steal, he wants to steal it, but then there's a part where like they're trying to find it, and like we don't know where it is. Cat, don't bite the cords, please. Yeah, either way... For comedic movie, it wasn't very comedic.
The end was really funny when they got to the costume party.
Yeah.
That part was the funniest, especially the chase scene.
The car chase, yeah. But overall, it was like, it felt like the main character, Inspector Clouseau, he's like, he's very clumsy. But
he's funny.
In this one, it's funny, but in this movie, it felt like he was overly clumsy, like trying too hard. And then also the whole thing with his wife, like, his wife was just cheating on him the whole time.
And he had no idea.
No idea. Some of that stuff was kind of humorous and interesting, but I felt like they were doing a lot of setups for a joke that kind of went okay here and there, like the whole skiing thing and the kidnapping the dog and whatnot. I don't know.
I gave it a 6.5.
I gave it a... Six.
Six. But, and we're saying in this one, because we also watched...
A Shot in the Dark.
Which was the follow-up movie of Inspector Clouseau.
Yeah.
This one, I liked a lot.
Yeah.
Not a lot, but it was better than the first one.
Yeah.
It's rarely a sequel is better than the original, and this is the case.
I mean, sometimes the second one's usually more... pretty good. In this one, though, there's a millionaire who like lives out in this millionaire house mansion with a bunch of people.
Keep going. I want to see where this is going.
He lives out in the millionaire mansion, and there's people everywhere. And then there's...
They're all hired hands. It's like maids and butlers and
stuff. Yeah, they're all like having a freaky good time with each other. Like, cause the first intro scene, it's just like a one-shot, like... panning from like room to room, and you see people. Yeah.
The popular going in one door, someone coming out a door.
Yeah,
but it was like
from the outside. Yeah. Like you look into the windows and stuff. But then someone gets murdered.
Dun, dun, dun.
And you see all these people
who
like
done it.
Yeah, like well, we still see who could have done it. I can't remember who died. That's the bad part.
It was a butler.
Was it a butler?
Mm-hmm.
Because they blame
the maid,
and Inspector Clouseau was like, "Oh,
it was either a butler or the driver. It was something like that.
Murder of Mr. Benjamin Ballin's driver.
The driver.
Right.
So yeah, I was close. Butler, driver. I said driver the second. My second guess.
Okay. But anyways, he's like Jacques Clouseau is
Jacques Clouseau.
Yeah.
Inspector Clouseau. Is his first name Jacques?
Yeah. Is that the water guy?
Yeah, I thought so. I just call him Inspector Clouseau. Is that the same?
On IMDb, it says Jacques Clouseau.
Oh, no. Keep going.
Anyways, the maid, he's like, oh, she's all pretty and everything. And he's like, I believe her, even though they, like, what's the evidence? We walked in, we heard shots, we walked in the room, and she was holding a gun. Like, oh, that's pretty bad evidence. But his thing was, well, if we release her from jail, the real killer will follow her. And then every time he releases her from jail, more people keep dying. And like, what do we do?
I guess it only comes with Pink Panther stuff when you type Jacques Clouseau.
What is the water guy? Who's this undersea explorer? Undersea. Jacques. Explorer. Japan. Thank you. Jacques Cousteau. Not
so,
Clouseau.
So there's an L in there. Otherwise, it's the same.
Do you think that was a play in words?
Probably. I don't
because
know.
Clue is what you get when you're a magnifying glass man. Inspector.
Inspector. I want to know the backstory.
I mean, Jacques Clouseau... His first episode aired in 1968. The movie came out in 1963 or 4. Bad news, folks.
1963.
And his first episode of Jacques Cousteau is 1968. But he might have been known. Oh, I don't know.
He might have been famous before the show.
Also, was the cartoon part of it? I don't know. This whole Pink Panther story is all mixed up.
Yeah, what came first, the cartoon or the movie? Because they have the animated cartoon... In the first movie, in the intro credits.
We could easily have looked it up, and we never did.
Nope. We waited until we go on mic and sound like idiots.
Eh, whatever. Anyways, I thought this one was much funnier. The pace seemed to go a little faster.
Yeah.
I gave this a 7.
I gave it a 7.5. All
right. So we're about the same.
Yeah, just slide the scale a little bit. Yeah, I did 6.5 to 7.5. You did 6 to 7.
Yeah.
Kind of same scale.
Yeah.
And then the next movie we watched...
Speaking of a scale...
That's mean. Uncle Buck? Because he's fat?
No, I was trying to think of a weird pun.
Speaking of scale, Remember that fat comedian who died?
I was, to tell the truth,
I didn't even know what the next movie was?
No, I forgot for a brief second what was happening in it, because you remember the movie Who's Harry Crumb? That John Candy was in? Mm-hmm. He's climbing a building on the cover, like on a window, like he's scaling the side of a building.
Okay.
That was the segue I was making.
Yeah, and we didn't watch that one, though.
I got the covers mixed up, okay? He's standing at the door and like, no.
He's like suction cupped to a window.
Yeah, he's scaling the building.
Oh. Sorry, I was thinking like the Batman and Robin. Why are we walking like this?
Yeah, no, I was thinking like he's like a fly on the wall.
Yeah. Uncle Buck is not like that.
No, he's like standing at the door and the kids are like, whoa, what's going on? The mom's like, I don't like you.
Oh, yeah, the door is like cutting in half.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, look on both sides of this. Why am I clicking? It's just going to other things instead of the picture, but whatever.
Anyways, Buckle Buck.
Buckle Buck.
Buckle
Buck. Buckle up.
Buckle up
for Uncle Buck.
Buckle and call Buckle.
Is John Candy.
John Candy.
He was a good actor.
He was
a fun actor, I should say. I shouldn't say good. After watching this, I'm like, I want to watch more John Candy things.
Planes, Trains.
It was good.
But anyways, this movie takes place, I believe, in Chicago. And I don't know. I think most of those movies take place in Chicago.
I thought it was on the fucking East Coast somewhere.
Look, I don't even know what movie this is anymore.
Uncle Buck.
Oh.
1989.
But he's kind of a weirdo. Like, he's like, I have a girlfriend, but I don't have a job. I don't want to work. And she's like, I'm mad at him. He's a huge slacker and stuff. And then
the dad's brother.
Okay. So this family, her dad is like in the hospital for a heart attack or something like that, and like, oh no, we need someone to watch the children because we can't take them out of school. We have to fly to New York or wherever the hell they're going. So like, well, how? And they like try all the babysitters and stuff. Like, and the dad's like, how about my brother Buck? He's worthless. He doesn't even want kids and this and this, and but it's like last resort type thing. So they go, all right, fine. We'll get him to come over.
And he hasn't seen the kids in a long time, so he thinks they're still like infants.
Yeah, he's like, oh, she's got to be like nine now, right? And then she's like in high school and stuff. Also, that's another. There's a thing about the oldest daughter was like super rebelling against everything and
over the top.
Yeah, like the mother, her and the mother, like having
John Hughes though.
Yeah,
John Hughes did a lot of over the top stuff.
I know, but I'm saying
for like character development.
I mean, like saying setting up wise, like the mother and the daughter, like were like on bad terms at the moment because they're always like fighting because teenagers.
I don't understand why the video shows of The Rock.
What
in a football helmet?
Yeah. But I mean, it wasn't amazingly funny. Like,
yeah, it wasn't really a funny movie. It was a nice,
a touching movie.
Touching.
It
had young Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, the funniest part of the movie to me was when he was being interviewed by Macaulay Culkin, and he's like asking all these questions. What do you do? What about this? What about this? And then he just says something like, how many questions have you asked in a row? 38. Or like, what's the top number of most amount of questions you asked in a row? 38.
Yeah, he did this 1 year before Home Alone.
Okay.
He was in Jacob's Ladder?
What?
Uncredited in Jacob's Ladder, because that was also 1990.
Okay. John Candy was?
No, Macaulay Culkin.
Oh, yeah, he was the kid. He was his kid.
Okay.
That's right, the bicycle thing. Anyways.
Oh, we're easily distracted tonight.
Yeah.
Good son.
Uncle Buck.
Uncle Buck.
Six.
Uncle Buck.
I don't know.
I gave it a 7. So I thought it was a fine movie.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was overly funny, but I liked it. It was a touching movie about a uncle who finally
was connecting with his nephews and nieces.
Yeah. And then, speaking of family, we saw Zoolander. I don't know why I said that.
Oh, yeah, Zoolander.
Because it's all about family. You got Ben Stiller and Jerry Stiller.
Yeah, they're hanging out, doing things. We got, and his wife,
Hey
Dude. Christina, nope. Shit, whatever. Ben Stiller's wife.
Yeah.
Looking it up.
Zoolander.
Zoolander is a movie about Derek Zoolander, who's the top model for like 3 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the model contest of the year award thing going on.
Christine Taylor.
There you go. And he's like, oh, I'm gonna get the top model again this year.
Yeah, 4 years in a row.
But then Owen Wilson's character, who's like this new...
Hansel.
He's like this new, like, young, hip, hot model that's coming on the scene. He ends up winning, and then Derek Zoolander's like, oh my god, my life is over. I'm not the hottest model anymore. But then, the first real plot, though...
Is Will Ferrell.
Yeah, is that... what is it, Korea or Thailand or some country in Asia that he's banning child sweatshops?
Malaysia.
He's banning child sweatshops, and that's where all the fashion designers can make their clothes.
Really they go, cheap.
Yeah, like, this is going to affect all of us, so we need to try to find a way to...
VH1's top model of the year.
Yeah, like, they need to find a way to like, sort of brainwash... a model so that they kill the prime minister of Malaysia mm-hmm. so that this law doesn't go through.
And they're trying to brainwash models because they're
dumb and do whatever they want.
They'll do whatever. And then the villain is Will Ferrell. Did you say that?
You might have said his name.
Magatu. Something like that. Yeah. I don't remember how to pronounce it.
And then, yeah,
it had its moments. It had its moments that were funny.
Yeah. I feel like if I watched this movie when it came out, I probably would have thought it was very funny.
Mm-hmm.
But it got to the point where, like, it's been referenced so often that by the time I watched it, I'm like...
Or the jokes have gotten better since then.
Yeah.
There was multiple times I'm like, oh, this is going to be a great setup to... And then it's just the joke's done. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
It would have been funnier if they did this.
Yeah. And plus, I'm always worried about movies.
Because they're like... When they're, because there was that scene where they're like, we gotta go deep undercover. I'm good with makeup and stuff. And then, like, it shows the black guy and the Mexican guy walking. And I'm like, been so funny if they just walked by. And then you saw, like, Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson walk by. Because it's like, oh, these are them. And then they just dubbed over their voices or whatever. I was like, oh. But I was expecting them, just the camera to follow these two guys. And they walk away. And then you see Ben Stiller and them. But. I mean, I guess back then that's how the jokes were. Now it's like, oh, we got to go even farther now.
Yeah.
That was just one example.
Yeah, but that was like I'm always worried about movies that have a character characters who are too dumb for their own good
mm-hmm.
because they're too smart in certain occasions. Like,
right.
Oh, he's smart enough to figure this out, but he doesn't understand what a model building is, like a prototype is.
Yeah, how are they so small?
What is this, a building for ants? Yeah, it's been referenced so many times in everything. But my favorite...
I don't know what these movies and shows you are watching that reference Zoolander.
Like memes and stuff.
Okay.
Like, because whenever they show something small, what is this, a bubble ball for ants? And they go, yeah, okay. We get the reference.
I get it.
My favorite part, though, was the brainwashing video with Will Ferrell, just because it was so weird and silly. That was my favorite part.
Yeah, I don't remember. I was going to write it down. There was some line that Jerry Stiller said that was really funny.
I like when he tried getting this is a spoiler, not a spoiler, but like near the very end, he's like, I gotta get these files. So then he calls his wife. He's like, hold on. Yeah, no, it's over there. And like, it's like a really tense moment. And he just talked to his wife. And like, but he's got an earpiece in, so he's just talking to her. And he's just, no, I don't want that for supper. And everyone's just like looking at him like, what the fuck's happening? Like that was pretty funny.
Yeah, and the files are in the computer. It was pretty obvious where that joke was going.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. I'm fine. I watched it. It wasn't amazing.
Yeah,
I gave it a 6.5.
I can guarantee that I'm not gonna watch
the second one. Yeah, probably not. I mean,
there's so many sequels to movies like comedies that came out way too long after. And I realized I haven't watched any of them. And
I'm Dumb and Dumber.
I didn't watch Dumb and Dumber. I didn't watch Anchorman 2.
I did.
I didn't watch Zoolander 2. I'm trying to remember what other ones were, but
at least Anchorman and Anchorman 2, like Anchorman came out like between these, like Zoolander and Dumb and Dumber and stuff, that was at least relatively close in years, like 8 years.
Were they?
Anchorman 2.
Oh, I thought you said like
from the first one to the second
Anchor one. Anchorman 1 and 2, it was closer than Dumb and Dumber.
To Dumb and Dumber 2.
I guess it depends if you count Dumb and Dumber. The story of Max and how Max, whatever.
Max?
Lloyd meant Floyd. What are the names?
I don't know. Floyd Christmas.
I was like, Max and Floyd? That's not it.
Oh, shit, was...
When Harry met Floyd?
Harry, yeah, Harry. That's it. Or is it Lloyd? It's Lloyd. There's no Floyd. Floyd's my co-host dog.
When Harry met Lloyd.
All right. Well, that was...
Floyd's
that was
not a real word.
Zoolander.
Zoolander. I gave it a 7. I don't think I said that.
I said 6.5.
Yeah, I did 7.
So those are the comedy movies you watched this month.
And then... this one would have been on the list, but Scott already seen it.
I already seen it.
And multiple people told me to watch it. It's a mad world.
It's a mad world.
I don't know why it drives me nuts that there's 4 mads. I feel like it should only have 3.
It's great.
Because it's like the rule of thirds.
I know. I don't know why I like it too.
You like it? I don't like it. I don't like the fact that there's 4 mads in the title. It's like too many or too less, depending on, like, I don't know, having an even number of them just doesn't work.
I know, so to me, I always feel like it's a mad world. Mad. 6.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like it should be 3. So this is the first time I've seen this movie.
I watched it, if you want to hear my... talking about it was July of 2017.
Yeah. So I'm not going to get too much into the plot, because Scott probably did in that podcast.
I'm sure it was very generic. All over the place.
But anyway, I guess I can say it. So this car crashes, all these people see it. And
takes the bucket.
And I didn't even notice that. All these people see it, and they go down to see if the guy's all right, and the guy's going on about this hidden fortune, and then he kicks the bucket literally and figuratively. And then it becomes a race to get to that point to find the treasure. And every single character in this movie is amazing. Because there's so many of them just take it so seriously.
Uh-huh.
But it's so funny. Like, I don't know how to describe it.
Yeah.
But just the delivery of their lines and their body language and their facial expressions... it's just freaking amazing. And there's so many cameos in the movie. There's tons of plots going on. It's just all over the place. But halfway through the movie, they kind of give away about the money. But then they have another twist and turn later and stuff like that. But because I thought it was going to be one of those things where you get to the end of the movie and they're like, oh, yeah, by the way, this money, you know, is the property of whatever. And, yeah, I don't know. It was funny to me. It was funny from beginning to end. Like,
you know, it's a long movie.
Yeah.
But it
doesn't feel long.
No.
And I don't... watching the movie, I felt like I was laughing the entire movie. I'm sure there was some lulls, but it's just so specific kind of humor that I don't think could ever be replicated again.
Also, it's such a large... spectrum of humors.
Mm-hmm. It's got everything from intelligent to dumb.
Yeah, it's got like slapstick, like things are falling apart.
Oh my god.
The set, like,
Mike, I don't want to drive that bike. It's a little girl's bike.
Mike Esserkan, the owner of Comedy City, this is like his favorite comedy movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll always like post clips once in a while, like, this is a great example, like the part with Don Knotts, like, this is how you use silence in like a comedy scene, because he's just sitting there, like, he never talks, but he's like just reacting to what another character is saying, and it's like, it's just so many, there's so many great things about it, and panning shots, and
I
just wacky physical humor.
Like, after I watched it, I wanted to watch it again. Like, because I feel like there was probably stuff I didn't catch the first time around. Especially after you told me that when the guy dies, he literally kicks the bucket when he dies.
Yeah, there's a bucket sitting by his foot, he's like, and then they're like, oh, he's dead. And then like he keeps going, yeah. And all of a sudden, finally, when he actually does die, there's a bucket next to his foot, and he just kicks it and it tips over. It's such a small little detail, but yeah, it's so great.
I'm sure there's a ton of them, because it looks like they did a lot. And some of these, it's like, you had to have done that in one take.
Yeah.
Especially when it came to, like, destroying shit. Like, that couldn't have been cheap to take down an entire building like that. But I gave it a 9.5.
Holy shit!
Yeah,
it was
really fucking good.
I rated it. I'm like, I look at it. I'm like, I feel like that was rated too low because I gave it a 7.5.
Yeah,
but like, I would at least been an 8.
Mm-hmm.
8, at least an 8.
Because it's like even weeks after seeing it, I still like I want to see that again. Like I could just keep that in the background and just on loop probably, and I would get entertained every time. Yeah, so that was Mad World.
Speaking of things that movies you can watch over and over again,
Groundhog Day.
Nope,
that movie just happens over and over.
Yeah, Jason watched this movie last year, Scott Pilgrim.
Oh yeah,
versus the World.
I watched it a bunch of times, but the first time for the podcast.
It was 2 years.
2014.
What?
March 2014.
That was like the beginning almost.
Yeah, I watched it multiple times since then.
Jesus.
I didn't mark it every time I watched it, though.
I know. But it's me talking about it, though.
Yeah, March 2014. I watched it.
Well, listen to March 2014. But yeah, it's about a guy dating a girl. She has 70 Alexas. He's had to defeat them. And it's Edgar Wright. Brian Lee O'Malley.
It's a comedy. It's a love story. It's a musical. It's
amazing. It's a comic book video game movie that isn't based on a comic book or video game. Well, actually, it is. Shut up. Fuck your mouth.
It's based on a comic book about video games.
Yeah, sort of. Whatever. Anyway, I love the movie. It's every time I watch it, I'm like, there's certain parts I just laugh at, even though I know it's coming and it's great and. Just
there's so many good moments in it.
One of the dumbest things that I always just like get amused by is when he's at the party and he sees Ramona, and like he squeezes his cup, and then he walks like sneaks like kind of slides up to her. He's just squeezing that Dixie cup where it's just the cup is just fucked. Where he's like just squeezing it, and he's just holding it that way the whole time.
Yeah, I just like the
you know your hair. I know of it.
I just love the, like, Lucas Lee. That's pretty hilarious.
That's hilarious, actually. Yeah, but I gave it a 9.
Yeah, I gave it a 10.
I know.
It's my favorite movie of all time.
So I watched a movie. I can't even count.
That's why I numbered them.
The next movie I watched was a John Waters movie. I watched it with my girlfriend.
I just saw John Waters. Oh, he was during the IFC, the independent film thing. He was like one of the announcer guys. He was pretending to be the director of the award show. And it was hosted by...
A movie people.
No. No it's movie. The girl from Parks and Rec and Chucky... The new Chucky.
Oh, Abby Plaza.
Yeah,
speaking of Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, she was the host of that award show, and then John Waters. It's like, this is weird.
Anyway, yeah. It's a John Waters movie, and apparently he places a lot of his movies around Portland. Nope, not Portland. The other port.
Maine?
No. Maryland. Where is the...
Baltimore?
Baltimore. There we go. Because apparently he's from that area, so like all his movies and stuff are based in that area. But the movie's Cry Baby. It's a Johnny Depp movie.
I've heard of that.
Yeah.
Never seen it, but I've heard of it.
It's a Johnny Depp movie. It's really weird because Ricky Lake is in it, and that just
boggles. Oh, yeah, it's Johnny Depp and Ricky Lake are the two main.
Yeah, it's his sister. Tracy Lords, the adult film actress, is in it. Willem Dafoe's in it for like a tiny bit. But... It's the movie is about these two sort of like rival gangs, I guess, kind of. It takes place like in the 1950s, so it's like kind of like greaser type, like rockabilly themed type show. Iggy Pop is in it. It's they're called the not the Swoops, what are they called? Drapes. They're called the Drapes. They're like the greaser type guys, and then it's
a greaser or drape.
Yeah, and then the squares who are just like basically like the preps, and they hate each other. But then a fight breaks out because there's one of the girls is a square, but she wants to be a drape because she likes Johnny Depp. Johnny Depp's like, yeah, I like you. You're pretty. But all the other squares don't like it because she comes from the squares.
He's a doll. He's a dreamboat. He's a delinquent.
Yeah.
That's the poster
for. Oh, yeah. That makes sense. But it's a pretty bizarre movie. Yeah, the IMDb is 1950s Baltimore, a bad boy with a heart of gold wins the love of a good girl whose boyfriend sets out for revenge. But yeah, they end up getting into this like giant fight. And the police come in and they're like, oh, and they arrest a bunch of the drapes because, you know, obviously, like, oh, they're bad, like, they ride motorcycles and stuff like that. And then a crybaby gets arrested and everyone's, like, trying to get him out of jail and stuff like that and all this stuff so that she can date him and whatnot. But it's, there's a lot of singing in the movie and some of that dances and whatever. But it's entertaining. It's a very fast... It felt like a very fast movie. Like, it was like, I'm like, oh, we're done. Oh, okay.
That's funny. It said that the beginning of the movie, they used the 50s style version of the Universal logo in the opening credits.
Also, I did like the very beginning when they're all like, the beginning was kind of funny and interesting because they're all getting like their like shots at school. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know, like the cinematography on it was entertaining. But I gave it I definitely wouldn't have watched it if it wasn't for Kristen telling me to watch it.
Yeah.
Or we watched it together.
I was going to say, you didn't watch it with her?
I watched it with her, yeah. But I'm not upset that I did. I'm not upset that I watched it. It was good.
Yeah, it's a classic Johnny Depp movie. I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
It's a classic.
It was entertaining. And also, the weird thing is that, yeah, that one girl's fucking weird. She's like a square, but she's in love with Johnny Depp too, but she's a weirdo. So it's like, everyone's like, no one believes you. And she's like, she's trying to like, threatening to like flash him and some of that. And yeah. But I gave it a 6.5. So it was fun.
I watched a movie that you already watched.
Bullshit.
Sucker Punch.
I watched that this month as well.
Oh, okay. Then we saw this, in the theater when it came out.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know which version you watched. I watched the extended cut.
I mean, I've seen the extended cut.
Right.
But I watched it in the theater. This is one of the few movies... Actually, this month of movies, Scott Pilgrim I saw in the theaters 3 times. Sucker Punch I saw in the theaters twice, because that was back when like Marcus first started doing their $5 movies. Oh, okay. I'm like, holy shit, I'll watch this movie again for $5. Mm-hmm. And then I bought the movie and then watched it again and...
Yeah, so Sucker Punch is a Zack Snyder film, famous for his quote-unquote bad Superman and Batman movies recently.
Well, this is his first...
But this is before that, and then this is
he had made
before Watchmen.
No, it was after Watchmen.
Is what it is?
Yeah, it was after Watchmen and after 300.
Okay, so he's most known... I mean, he became popular on 300, was his big thing, and then he did Watchmen, and then he did The Owls of Cthulhu or whatever...
Didn't he do Dawn of the Dead?
Oh, yeah, he did do the remake of Dawn of the Dead. But he did that Owls movie so that he could get the money to do Sucker Punch.
Yeah.
Because kids' movies make money. But Sucker Punch was a completely original screenplay that he came up with. And it's about this girl who witnesses her dad.
He doesn't witness.
She...
Yeah.
She doesn't witness? Oh, he closes the door. I thought she was looking through.
Oh, sorry. I'm jumping ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, it's this girl who witnesses her dad being sexually abusive to her sister.
Well, it's her stepdad.
Oh, it's her stepdad. Because
her mother, at the very beginning, her mother dies.
And okay.
And then he's like, all right, I get all her money. And he realizes that the mother left it all to her kids.
And not him.
So he takes his anger out on them.
Okay. Yeah, so she witnesses this, and then in response, he brings her to a mental institution. Yeah. Oh. Well, I don't know if I want to bring that part up, because then at the end and stuff, but...
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so then she gets put to a mental institution because she witnesses this violence.
Other things happen, too, but it's more effective
yeah.
seeing it.
Right. So, She gets put in the... It's a mental institution, right?
Yeah.
But it's also...
It's like for the criminally insane type thing.
But it also is a side hustle of these girls dancing.
I think... This, okay.
There's so many layers to this.
This movie is hard because there's three layers to this movie, and you only really see two of them...
Until the end.
Except the very beginning and the very end of the movie.
Right.
And so, like...
So I don't know how to explain it without giving stuff away.
Yeah, it's... So they go there, and then, like, at the very beginning, the lady, she from Watchmen.
Yeah, she played Silk Spectre.
Clara, whatever.
She's in that show I'm watching.
Yeah, Haunting Hill House. Yeah. She was in a Gerald's game. Yeah. He always wants to say Clara Gallo, but that's not right. That's Lizzie from Undeclared.
But anyway, this stuff's
Carla Gugino.
So the stuff is going on at this place.
Well, I was saying, like, she's like the one that watches the girls,
right?
And she's like telling them like to like if you like for bad things, kind of go into
your
own mind and like and think of things differently than they are.
Yeah.
So that's kind
so
of
a lot of the movie is stuff going on, and to escape, she has this story going on in her head. And these stories are so extreme because there's like Nazis that
steampunk Nazis
are full. Was it steam or sand?
I think both.
Yeah, and then there's another one with robots,
dragons,
and like there's a bunch of short stories, but they're stories in her own head, but they kind of tie into the real world.
But she's because they're trying to gather these items to help them escape the place before the high roller comes, because then she has to dance for the high roller, and she doesn't want to do that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things going on.
Especially, like, I don't remember much of the movie, so I watched the extended cut, and it's cut different.
Yeah.
Very different. So, like, stuff is revealed very differently in the extended cut than the original cut. And I don't remember how it was revealed in the original.
Okay.
So I'm just like, oh, because then at the end it's like, oh... Oh, shit. I don't know. I loved it. Like, it is a very...
Oscar Isaac is well, in it, yeah. too. The first thing I ever saw him in was this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Oscar Isaac.
And, of course, fucking...
Ex Machina.
Yeah. I was going to say, and then General Malone from Donnie Darko and Vanessa Hudgens.
Mm-hmm. Like... I guess I'm bad at remembering stuff because, like, all of a sudden the end credits, I'm like, oh, that was her? Oh, that was her. Like, all the girls? Like, I didn't remember who they were. All of a sudden their names pop and I'm like, oh, it's that actress. Yeah. I'm like, because Vanessa Hudgens. I'm like, oh, that's Vanessa.
Yeah, it's Blondie.
I'm like, oh, Jesus, God. I'm bad at remembering faces, especially, like, in this movie because they're all, like, make-uped up to look similar, kind of, because appease a crowd.
Yeah.
Like we said, there's a ton of layers to it.
I know a lot. Also, the thing is, I like this movie a lot, but I know a lot of people hate it.
Yeah, see, and most people have never seen it. Like,
well, the few people that I know that have seen it are like, fuck that movie. And I'm like,
I don't know anybody like who seen it.
Well, my friend Eric at work, he has seen it. He's like, this is the dumbest movie ever. And him and I see pretty close eye to eye for a lot of movies. So it's like, I'm like, but you don't like this one? I don't know. Maybe I just have a special...
Yeah. Whatever. I'm also one of those people that enjoys Zack Snyder's stuff.
I do too. I like his directing.
And people get mad at a lot of it, but I'm like...
Oh, it's too dark. I'm like, but you notice the difference. You notice it's different than this movie and this movie.
Right.
You watch most movies, you go, I love this guy's the way he directs things because it's so different.
No.
Not you show me the difference between a Paul Feig movie and a goddamn whatever else, like just
I do wish that the Batman versus Superman was more drastic in a difference.
Yeah.
Like I understand that Man of Steel is dark and stuff and I love Man of Steel.
Yeah, I like that movie a lot.
But then you're like, okay, so this is a sequel to that. I'm like, that doesn't mean you have to do the same tone.
Yeah.
Because he's past that point, so now he's I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, I gave Sucker Punch a 9.
Oh, wow. You're in a good mood this month.
Nah, we're only halfway there, buddy.
Well, I've seen this movie so many times more than you, and I own it and stuff, and I gave it an 8.
I just really enjoyed it. It surprised me watching it on how good it was.
I like it a lot. I bought the soundtrack, so I was listening to it a ton in the car, and then I rewatched it. Like, I feel like watching this movie again.
I'm like, I got the Watchmen extended cut thing, and I'm like, no, I want to watch that.
Yeah.
Right, Professor?
All right. The next movie I watched, I kind of had a little a anthology weekend where I watched all the Indiana Jones movies, but I already reviewed the first two.
Mm-hmm.
Not the first two. I already reviewed the first and the third movie. Because I got them on like Black Friday.
I know, Blu-ray. But it's just funny that you like, I'm not going to watch the second one.
Well, because I bought them on Blu-ray on like Black Friday, the first and third one.
It would just be like, I would still watch the second one in the middle.
Well, all right.
Go ahead. Continue.
So
that's just me.
So I watched Indiana Jones, The Temple of Doom. Finally, after, hey, get away from that cat.
I will throw you down the stairs.
Well, don't.
Just kidding. I'll throw you into the couch.
I'm trying to push you away from the wire, and you just sit there and look at me. But Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, chronologically, takes place 1 year before the first movie.
That blew my mind.
I was like, also, it starts different because all the other movies, like, here's a little thing going on that he's teaching in his classroom. This one, he just starts in that other country at that one club, Club Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
And then he just...
Seriously called Club Obi-Wan?
Yeah.
God damn it.
Yep, because what's his nuts? Star Force Man was in it.
George Lucas.
George Lucas helped with it. Yeah, it's Club Obi-Wan.
Give him some you can chew on.
So in that movie, he... Jesus, cat. He stumbles across this, like, because... yeah, it's a whole long story, but then he stumbles across a small village. They're like... We need our sacred stone back. So they came in and stole our sacred stone. And they go, okay, fine. Also, they took our children. All right, I'll get them back. I'll get your stone back. And he finds out this other country, like the UN or whatever, part of them are using the stones to try to, Cat,
what'd you do? He got it stuck in the heater.
Cat, are you stuck?
I could tell by hearing what happened. He threw it downstairs and it's in the freaking heater.
Cat, I'm trying to tell a story about Indiana Jones.
You got too excited too fast. Where did it go?
But anyways, so they're using the stones to try to, fuck, I can't even remember. I honestly can't even remember what they're using the stones for. Because they're ripping out this dude's hearts and stuff like that. And I don't remember why. Maybe it's for bad guys just to be bad. I'm so bad at details.
I don't remember. I haven't seen this movie in a long time. And I totally don't remember what the stones were for. I just remember the bridge scene at the end. Right? That's the right movie, right? Temple of Doom you're talking about?
Yeah. Thuggy is beginning to attempt to rise once more, believing that with the power of all five Sankara stones, they can rule the world. So yeah, it's basically
like Dragon Balls.
Yeah, but they have like three of the five stones. But then yeah, so Indiana Jones goes there. You have fuzz in your hair now from the.
I was trying to dig underneath. I couldn't. I couldn't find it.
Jesus Christ. But I don't know if you haven't seen Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. Then I don't know what to explain to you. It's Indiana Jones. It never was, like, as a kid, it was my favorite one because it had, like, all the cool things, like, oh, this blood and it's pulling people's hearts out and stuff. But the plot is just weird. It doesn't feel
the
like
an Indiana Jones. The rail car scene is cool.
Yeah, it is. It has,
like, cool scenes.
It's adventurous, but compared to Indiana Jones movies, it doesn't feel like Indiana Jones because the other ones, he researches this and this. He just shows up and goes, oh, this is what's happening. And I'm here along for the ride.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's all it is. So I gave it a 7.
I gave it... No, I'm just kidding. I didn't watch it.
Because, like I said, the other ones I liked a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I gave Last Crusade 8.5. I gave Leader's Last Ark 8.
To me, Last Crusade's the best one, but...
I watched The Raiders of the Lost Ark in September 2014. and Last Crusade at March of 2017.
But I haven't seen them in a long ass time. Yeah. Probably the 90s.
Yeah. And then I watched Indiana Jones and the Kringle Skull.
Kingdom?
Kringle.
Is it Kingdom of the Crystal Skull?
Kingdom. I can't say Kringle. Kingdom. No.
The Kringle of the Sun.
Kingdom of the Sun. Nope. Crystal Skull. What's the fourth Indiana Jones movie?
The one that...
Boy, oh boy.
Killed the franchise.
It takes place in like the 50s, I think. 40s or 50s, I don't remember. The other ones took place in the 30s.
It was during the...
during World Wars.
It was... I was
the Cold War.
The nuclear scares.
Yeah.
King.
The villains are trying to find this artifact that will give them all this crazy power. And I do mean crazy because, like, one of his friends that he's...
1957.
There you go. One of his friends that, like, was searching for this skull, he ended up in, like, a loony bin, and, like, they were following him, trying to figure out all these clues on where to find the skull. There's not much plot to this. They're trying to bring the skull back to where it came from. There's a lot of things. Ants eat people. Monkeys are trees. They have waterfalls. Like, honestly, Indiana Jones in the other movies, he should have been dead once or twice over. Because falling out of an airplane, landing on a mountain, this and this. Motherfuckers go over a goddamn waterfall. And, like, it's like the Niagara Falls, and then they walk out of there. I'm like, you should have died. Well, just like
the beginning with the refrigerator and stuff.
Yeah, he should have been fucking beat to shit.
He's invincible. That's
but like one of the things I liked
probably because he has the five stones.
Yeah, he swallowed them. One of the things about this movie though is the first movie it dealt with a Christian god. All right, the second movie it dealt with like this this god in India. Third movie Christian god. So I'm like for them to step out of the bounds again, going oh here's
it's the Mayans god.
Yeah,
which is aliens.
Yeah. I understand, like, it's nice seeing not just, oh, here's another, like, what is this time? It's the Shroud of Turin. Ooh, all these Christian artifacts. Like, it's kind of neat seeing that, but it could have been aliens, but you didn't have to do what you did. but it wasn't as bad as...
Yeah, they should have kept it more open-ended.
Yeah, the fucking... I just... Yeah. I gave it a 6. It's not horrible. Like, I was watching it, like, after watching all three, and then watching this one, I'm like, I can see a lot of similarities. Like, there's a lot of things that happened in the movie that went, this is great. They actually tried to do what they did in the first movies, mm-hmm. like, with shadows and, like, and the way, like, certain scenes. Like,
I just thought the CG was really bad.
Yeah, CG.
The CG monkeys.
Yeah. That's the thing, though. Other ones, practical effects. The CG is...
Practical effects are so much better.
The CG's lightning. I understand
they're more expensive.
Yeah.
But practical effects look so much better.
Yeah. Plus, you can always make it look better.
I know, we're probably wrong, but I stand by this.
But it's easier to make things look better after shooting than, like, you can fucking shoot a movie...
The lighting's never great. You can never get the lighting perfect.
But you can shoot a movie in 1 month and be done with it, as opposed to, oh, we need to set up all these things. It's going to take 3 months to shoot this movie. That, yeah, it's like...
All about cost.
Yeah, shove three guys in a room, as opposed to, like, a cast and crew of, like, 50 people for 3 months. Shove three guys in a room for 3 months.
That's how they can come out with, like, a million movies a year.
Yeah.
Or one person came out with 6 movies in 1 year because they shot for a month in each.
Yeah.
The next movie I watched, I've talked about this for the last couple months. There's a series on Hulu called Into the Dark. Every month they release a horror movie in that month. So last month we talked about the New Year's one. This month, February, is for President's Day.
What? Did not see that coming.
Just kidding. It's Valentine's Day / Presidents because it's the same weekend.
Because they love Presidents.
Well, they're like, oh, it's a 4-day weekend because Valentine's Day and President's Day. I'm like, who gets a freaking vacation day on Valentine's Day?
What the fuck?
Whatever. So this movie is called Down. And it's about
Tinder
and elevator. Oh. So this girl's working late on Friday or something. Thursday is Valentine's Day. Right?
Was it this year?
Yeah.
Yeah, Thursday.
Because that Monday was President's Day. But anyway, she's working late and she's going to go home, fly home or something to go see her boyfriend, fiance, something like that.
Both of them.
So she's leaving and this guy gets on the elevator with her, and as the elevator's going, all of a sudden it just stops. The elevator stops, the lights flicker and go out, and they're stuck in this elevator. And they can't get the intercom thing to work, and they're waving at the camera. They're stuck in the elevator.
Oh, but everyone went home for the holidays.
Yep.
What?
Because she worked late. And so these people were working late. And then, so no one's in the building, and no one will be there till Tuesday. And she's like, I'm going to miss my flight, blah, 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 blah. And they start talking and getting to know each other, and I'm trying not to give away any of the twists, which are pretty obvious. But yeah, they get to know each other, and then things turn, and it gets pretty violent. The elevator is crazy, and
the elevator's crazy?
No, like shit in the elevator goes crazy. Oh. And then like there's a twist halfway into the movie, and I'm like, oh shit, because I'm like, I see this twist coming a mile away. I'm like, it's not even, it's the halfway point.
It was
of the
Cupid.
Movie.
He was Cupid.
And then the rest of the movie is like a different tonally movie. And I just liked it because instead of just going, oh, here's a twist, da-da-da, finish up the plot, we're done. You know what I mean? Like, they just could extend it, and then you could just see, I mean, it's pretty obvious what was going to happen eventually at the end of the movie, but I still thought it was a fun little ride.
No.
I thought it was better than last month's movie. It's not the best movie in the bunch, but it was upper middle. It was more, I gave it a 7.5. It was better than not. I enjoyed watching it. Like I said, a lot of it was predictable, but there were a couple things I didn't see coming, which I enjoyed. And that's the thing with Blumhouse. It's like, oh, here's an idea that has been done a million times. We're going to do it a little different.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes it wins, sometimes it doesn't. So yeah, I gave it a 7.5. So I've never seen the How to Train Your Dragon movies.
Uh-huh.
And the third one came out in February. So yeah. I'm like, oh, I'll watch How to Train Your Dragon 1 and 2, and if I like it, I'll go to the theater and see the third one.
Yeah.
So I watched How to Train Your Dragon 1 and 2. They're okay. It's definitely a kid's movie. The animation's decent. I mean, it's DreamWorks, so it's not, you know, the upper level of CG animation. But it's up there.
It's said number two.
It's number two. Up there with Minions and,
Isn't Minions DreamWorks also?
Yeah, that's what I said. It's up there with Minions and, I forgot what the other big one was.
Gnomes?
No.
Gnomeo and Juliet.
I'm pretty sure the Gnomes is Sony.
Trolls.
Madagascar was the big one. So How to Train Your Dragon is
penguins.
Like a bunch of Vikings and stuff, and they're going against dragons, and they're the main, I was going to say cult leader. The leader of the Vikings, his son, he's trying to get his son to be a strong Viking and kill dragons and stuff like that. And along the way, he comes across, he takes down a dragon, but ends up befriending it, and he becomes friends with this dragon.
Aww.
So he's taking care of the dragon as well as going through training on how to kill the dragons. At the same time, so he's jumping back and forth between school and recreation. And then at the end of the movie, he's like, dragons are our friends. And everyone's like, okay. And then everyone knows how to ride dragons.
You just had to know, you just had to want to.
Yeah.
You said to want it.
And then they made a sequel, which wasn't as good as the first one, because it was a lot of the same stuff. But you find out that there's evil dragons that are being possessed by giant dragons. And, oh yeah, the main character, he finally meets his mom, because she's not in the first one, and she's out of the picture, and like, oh, I thought you were dead, and blah, blah, blah. So
dead serious with these dragons.
So it's like a mother-son type thing in the second movie. Like I said, I mean, I'm sure there's people who love these movies. Good for you. No, just kidding. They're okay. I wouldn't recommend them to people. I gave the first one a 5.5.
Wow.
And then the second one I gave a 5.
Wow.
There's so many better movies out there.
Wow. I did not expect that.
You say I'm being so nice, and then that happens. Yeah. So it's, then I don't think I need to see the third one. I think I'm good. Yeah. I was like, I don't know, after I saw the first one, I'm like, do I really want to watch the second one?
Wow. I know so many people that love those movies.
I know, and that's why I was a little sad, that I'm like, this is it.
Even I have a
t-shirt. This is the movie? This is, I mean, aside from the dragons looking cute, I don't get anything out of it. I don't understand.
Maybe you should learn how to train a dragon before
there's hardly any training of dragons in this movie.
Train a dragon.
I don't know. And then
Meatballs.
I watched a movie I saw like when it came out in theaters in 1994. And I'm like, you know what? I should watch this since I haven't seen it in a long time. And I watched The Mask. Jim Carrey's The Mask. Remember that movie, Scott?
No.
So Jim Carrey plays Stanley.
I remember it, but I don't.
Stanley Ipkiss.
Ipkiss.
And he's a loser, and he comes across this mask that reveals your innermost desires, and he becomes like a ladies' man and does all this revenge stuff, and it's a funny movie. This is like Jim Carrey's like prime, like he did
Ace Ventura.
Pet Detective, and then he did The Mask, and it was like
Cable Guy.
So I went back and rewatched The Mask, and I'm like,
Dumb and Dumber.
This still holds up. I feel like it still holds up. I mean, it was definitely a movie of its time, but I still think it's a good movie.
Living Color.
That was before everything. That was like where you got to start, Living Color.
Liar, Liar.
Obviously, it's based on a comic book for mature audiences, and then this is a family movie. So,
yes, Tony, it's based on comic first. We know this. Dark Horse.
Dark Horse. The comic is really good, but it's really dark.
He murders people like crazy.
Because seriously, if you, your innermost desires and like you're invincible and stuff, like, it's the original Overpowered. Like, there's nothing. Oh my God. So I gave it a 7.5. I thought it still holds up. I don't own this movie, but it was on Hulu, I think. So I watched it. Go ahead. You got excited about The Mask.
No, I thought I had less movies than I did, but I missed one. I watched again another movie that I would not have seen had it not been for my girlfriend being like, "We're gonna watch this movie." I'm like, "Okay."
I have a feeling like there's a lot of movies in that list.
Yeah, but I'm watching them. I'm not. There's none that I've said no to yet because I'm not an asshole.
Is there any that you're like, God damn?
It's coming. It's coming. I'm gonna give it a shot because I'm like, I've never had a reason to watch it, but now I'm like, now I do have a reason to watch it because. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, so I should just give it a shot. It's whatever. We'll see what happens. But this movie I watched was the movie Chicago.
Oh.
What?
Nope. Sorry, I was thinking Moulin Rouge. Sorry. Continue.
Chicago.
I could not get into Moulin Rouge. I could not.
Okay, maybe two movies I'm worried about. I'm just kidding. No, but Chicago, it's Renee Zellweger and Catherine Zeta-Jones are the two main characters.
Richard Gere?
Richard, hold on, I'm getting to that.
Sorry.
So what happens is right away, Catherine Zeta-Jones is like this. Her and her twin sister are on Broadway. And right before the show starts, like the movie's starting, and she's like rushing backstage and putting on makeup and stuff, and like washing blood off her hands, like, what the fuck? And you find out she murdered her husband and her sister because they're cheating on her. So she like murders
her
twin sister.
Did not see that.
I know. I'm like, and then she goes to prison. And then Renee Zellweger is like trying to be an upcoming, like she wants to be an upcoming like singer. And so like there's this guy that's like, yeah, I know a bunch of people on Broadway and stuff like that. So like he's like using her to like sleep with, like he's like getting her to sleep with him. And then she finds out, he's like, yeah, I was just lying to you just to sleep with you. I don't know these people. And she gets so pissed off that she murders this dude.
There's a lot of murder.
There's a lot of murder. Movie. There's a lot of murder in the movie. And then, so then she ends up going to prison, but then, she hires this, this lawyer, and her husband is John C. Reilly. And he's like trying to, like, she's like tells the police and stuff like that, like, oh, this guy broke into my room and like, and my husband like shot him. And it was like he's like, yeah, yeah, that's what happened and stuff. And then he finds out like, wait, you were cheating on me with him? You lied to me. So then she goes to prison. And then she hires Richard Gere, who's like the top lawyer.
Attorney.
Yeah, like yeah. He basically just is like all the female like clients and stuff like that. But then they start turning it into like a publicity thing, being like, oh, she's a sweetheart and this and like trying to make everyone like love her so that when she gets out she has like a place, like she's a celebrity and some of that. And it's like kind of like that whole story of like she's like she starts getting pissed off because he's getting the attention that she's like doing, and it's like most of the
another person's gonna get murdered.
The movie, a lot of it takes place in prison, which I did not know.
Yeah,
I thought it was mostly like a show on Broadway.
Well, that's what it was based on.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, I thought like majority of the show was going to be like on stage, much of the movie.
Well, that's just because it's a Broadway show that you just automatically assume.
Yeah, and I mean, I enjoyed the movie. It was kind of over before I realized it. And I was like, oh, shit. Catherine Zeta-Jones is not in it as much as I thought she was going to be. Because I know she was like... but I was like mad at the ending. Because halfway through, I'm like, I bet this is what's going to happen.
And then it was and she's complete
like,
opposite.
She's like, just hold on. I'm like, okay. And it ended. I'm like...
That's not how it should have ended.
And I was explaining, I'm like, I'm mad because this is... She's like... I can see your point. Like, I'm like, but this didn't, this is bullshit. Like, I was mad at the, like, not at the movie itself,
but just the outcome.
Like, this character, they should have had, like, this should have happened to this character because this person got fucked the whole time. And they had no, like, they had no way of, like, of fate going, okay, you had a shitty life. Now here's this in retaliation. Or you're such an asshole character. Yeah. Here's your punishment. There's like certain parts like, I'm like, no one got their comeuppance. Like, no, like what? Why? But like
crash.
But like, not as bad as that because they were like racist and shit.
Everyone's terrible people.
But like, I guess it made me feel something, so I guess that's the thing.
Yeah, that's what movies do. Yeah, they make you feel strongly about things.
But like I actually enjoyed it, and the songs are catchy. Fun.
Do you like musicals?
No.
Oh. I always think I like musicals, and then I watch one. This is what a musical is.
Yeah, this is more of a musical than Crybaby was, even though that one's marked as a musical. It's like maybe they sing like two or three songs, right. But they sing them like at a concert.
Yeah.
So it's like, this is like
Rent is just like, we're singing about what's going on right now.
Yeah.
Instead of like having dialogue.
But that's kind of what happens with Chicago, where like,
that's what I kind of figured.
She goes in and then suddenly all these like women, that song is kind of fun where all the women like that she meets in prison, like, this is how I killed my husband. This is why I'm here. And like they each sing their own story. And there's a girl from like Yugoslavia or something, and she just or like Russia, somewhere in Russia, and she just sings the entire song in her native language. And you're like, you don't know her story because she just sings it. And there's no subtitles. I was like that kind of was cool.
There's like an episode of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Yeah.
And she's in prison and they have these songs and stuff. I'm wondering if they're influenced by that because there's obviously different musicals that they kind of parody, because there's a part where they're parodying Cats, and it's pretty obvious because people are dressed as cats. Yeah. But I'm like in the prison, I'm like, I wonder if that's the
song's
Chicago.
Called, the song's called Cell Block Tango, and it starts with like each woman
was like a tango. Thing,
each woman, it, like, and wrong. they say one word that has to be like squish this Cicero. Blah.
Yeah, that sounds.
Like, yeah, and that's like it's a pretty cool song. But yeah, it's I gave it a 7. I enjoyed it more than I thought it would.
Well, that was horny angry tango, but
it was better than Indiana Jones 4.
Yeah, I believe it.
Let's see, what was
that's
next?
Not...
Oh, so the next movie I watched was a Quentin Tarantino movie. I watched Inglourious Basterds because that was on my list.
Blam.
That was my list for
Inglourious Basterds. I watched that one.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it.
It's
a fake alternative history.
Yeah, it was one of those movies I didn't watch it because I knew it's Quentin Tarantino, but
there's so many Quentin Tarantino fans of movies I haven't seen.
He hasn't made a lot of them, and I'm only missing a few that I haven't seen.
Because isn't Django?
Yeah, I haven't seen Django.
But I didn't watch it yet.
I haven't seen Django, and there's like one or two more that I haven't seen. Because
you saw Foxy Brown, right?
Foxy Brown?
Is that it? What is it?
Jackie Brown?
Jackie Brown.
Jackie Brown. I have Jackie Brown. That was decent. Brown. But, Inglourious Basterds. It takes place during World War II, where the Nazis are everywhere, killing Jews and all sort of stuff. But, you kind of follow a couple different stories throughout the movie, like a Quentin Tarantino movie,
mm-hmm.
where, one girl is like, she's pretending to be French, but she's actually like Jewish, and she obviously hates the Jews. No, she hates the Nazis. Sorry.
Well, that movie is different than I remember.
She's like, I hate my native culture, but she hates the Nazis. So like, she owns this movie theater, and she makes a plan to say, I want to burn down this theater with all the Nazis on the inside. I'm like, that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also a group of people called the Inglourious Basterds, where it's a bunch of people like run by Brad Pitt, who's from like Kentucky or something like that, and kill the Nazis.
So bad.
I know. But him and they're known for like just attacking and killing like higher like ranking officials in the Nazi army and some of that. So they're kind of tied into this whole thing. And I don't want to give much away in this plot because there's so many things going, oh, that's cool. All right, that's how they tied it together. But
I really like the theater part.
The theater part was awesome. But yeah, the main reason why we watched this because we watched Cloverfield Paradox.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, and Chris was like, who's that guy? I'm like, he was Zemo in Captain America Civil War. She's like, no, he was in Inglourious Basterds. So I'm like, oh, I never saw it. Well, we're watching it. But, I mean, it was a decent movie.
I liked it, yeah.
It's almost exactly what I expected it mm-hmm. to be. Like, not plot-wise, but, like, the overall effect. So
Nazis are bad. Let's kill a ton of Nazis. That's the movie.
Like, I didn't know what to expect, but, like, the beginning part, the intro with the farm and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
that part was fucking good.
They're hiding under the boards
and stuff. Yeah, the milk. But I gave it a 7. So it was good.
Yeah, I probably gave it a 7.5, but I haven't watched it in a long time.
All right.
I think I watched it fairly close to the release date. When did it come out? I just had it up, Jason. You minimized it. You just had it. 2009.
2009?
I guess I did not see it.
That was a decade ago.
Because I watched it here.
Yeah, we bought the house in 8.
Okay, so maybe I did.
Yeah, we bought the house in 08.
Yeah, so it was probably around that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your next movie?
My next movie is movie you watched, Dirty 30. I don't know when you watched it.
That was, I had it up. Uh-oh.
Dirty 30. It's about a girl who is turning 30.
February of 2017.
Wow, 2 years to the month.
Yeah.
is a girl who's turning 30, and her friends want to throw her a birthday party, but she doesn't want to. She just wants a low-key birthday, and her friend throws a huge, extravagant party.
She needs a reason to throw a party.
Yeah, because she loves throwing parties. This movie is starring a lot of YouTube people.
Yeah.
It's basically a YouTube collaborative movie.
A YouTube, a who's who YouTube.
Yeah. So there's like...
at least from like years ago.
Right. Like Rhett and Link and the girl who's drinking, cooking.
My drunk kitchen.
Yeah. And stuff like that. I was just sad that like Epic Lloyd was there, but Nice Peter wasn't. That made me sad. But it was decent. It was a movie.
Yeah.
It had a beginning, middle, and end. Characters
changed so much.
Evolved as the movie went. It had humor. It had heart. I gave it a 7.5.
Wow. You gave it a better review than you like. So I was like, it was a movie. It had all the parts that constitute a movie. There's characters, there's settings, there's places.
Yeah.
But
I gave it 7.5.
My favorite joke in that movie, though, is when she's on that date and like mm-hmm. she sees someone and she's just like, just climbs under the table.
It tries to, yeah.
Yeah, that was fun. I gave it a 6.5, so you liked it more than I did.
Oh. Or my scale is very weird.
Yeah.
That's probably closer. True. The next movie I watched, you also watched.
Same.
Eighth Grade.
Oh, yeah. I watched that movie as well. It had a beginning, middle, and end.
Eighth Grade is about this girl who's in her last weeks of eighth grade, middle school, going into high school. And it follows her as she's basically trying to figure out who she is. Because she's not a popular girl. She's a quiet one, but she doesn't want to be the quiet one. And she's just awkward. And it's like her trying to figure out who she wants to be.
Yeah.
But the weird thing is, like, this movie feels like a documentary, kind of. Maybe because she's talking to the camera for the YouTube stuff.
Yeah. She does, like, these sort of, like, self-help type videos. Like, hey, if you want to be yourself, you should really be yourself because...
But, yeah, it's basically her just telling herself things.
Yeah.
And, Gucci. And I have a feeling, like, this is what eighth graders are going through. Like, I felt like it was very realistic. I thought it was good. I liked it. Yeah, I don't know what to say about it. I mean, it's just an evolution of character.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who doesn't know, like, who's young and feels like this is everything, but it's really not.
The worst thing about this movie is that the people this is aimed at and people should watch aren't going to appreciate it yet.
Yeah.
It's meant for eighth graders.
Yeah.
Because it's like, yeah. This is what
bullying is bad.
This is how things feel, and this is how you should learn to like. Mm-hmm. It's sad because it's like there's so many things happening in the movie that you just go, I cringed so much because I'm like, this is too real.
Yeah,
but then knowing how unimportant all these things that we thought were so important back then aren't.
Yeah,
just giving up on worrying would have been so great to mm-hmm. know back then, but
high school doesn't matter.
Yeah,
like just do
middle
whatever.
School doesn't matter. Yeah,
it's like just trying to be
someone instead of
being yourself.
Yeah, it's like don't do that. Like just be your like it's. It was so I was watching. I'm like, God damn it! I wish I knew this shit. But then, like, in my mind, I was like, they should show this to eighth graders. I'm like. They're not going to like it because they don't give a fuck. Like, that speech the dad was giving, I'm like, Yeah.
And, like, well, even the first speech that he had, and she's like, what? Kept taking her headphones off?
Yeah.
I was like, he's trying to tell her there, but she doesn't want to listen. And then he does a similar thing at the end of the movie where she actually listens.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. Stop it. You're probably shaking noise on the...
Shaking noise, Kit.
Well, he's rubbing his face on the table that the microphone's on.
Yeah.
I gave it an 8.
I gave it a 7.
That was really good.
It was good.
And even watching, like, I don't know, I feel like I appreciated it more the second time watching it.
I could see that.
Then you know what you're going to expect.
Yeah, I didn't know what to expect at all. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Bo Burnham worked on it, who's a comedian,
mm-hmm.
But made it very real.
Mm-hmm.
Did not expect that. But I don't know. It was good. It didn't blow me out of the water, though.
Right. I thought it was really good. Like, for his first movie,
yeah,
it was phenomenal.
That girl was really good, too.
Yeah.
Like, too good.
Yeah. Like I said, it felt like that was her, but it's not.
Yeah.
So.
The next movie, next movie I watched, World's End.
Oh, I gotta watch that again.
I watched this movie, and, we watched it when it first came out.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like 2013, I think.
I'll fact check.
2012 or 2013, somewhere in there. It was after Scott Pilgrim, before Baby Driver.
2013. I hate that every time I type World's End, the Pirates movie comes up.
Oh, I'm always worried about the Seth Rogen movie.
This is the end. No, because the...
Yeah, Pirates Caribbean World's End.
At World's End is what that one was called.
But this movie is about a guy who wants to get his friends back together again because they had this, I can't remember, the something mile, Golden Mile? I think it's Golden Mile, where they there's 12 pubs.
They just call it a pub crawl.
There's these 12 pubs in their town, in their hometown, that they tried doing when they graduated high school, and they maybe they got halfway through it and they gave up. And he's like, that was the best time. No, that was such a good time. He's like, let's do it again, even though it's like years later, and everyone's like moved on in their lives. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I'm married. I'm like. Important law firm person. I'm doing this and this and this, and then and he's like still the same as he was years ago, like just being a fucking troublemaker and not taking anything seriously. But then he eventually somehow convinces all his old friends to come along, and they head back to their hometown, going bar to bar, and then things start happening. That it's more exciting not knowing that it's happening. Like,
mm-hmm.
I was watching it I was watching Kristen,
and she's knew like, nothing about the movie.
Knew nothing about it. She watched Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead.
Shows it.
Yeah, she watched Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead. She's like, I never even heard of this. The part when they're in the bathroom, she's like,
What the fuck?
Yeah, she's just kind of like, wait, what?
God damn, that bathroom scene is amazing.
Yeah. But she's like, wait, what's going on? And then like the movie kept going, we're like, she's like, okay. Like,
it just escalates.
Like, yeah. But it's not as good as Shaun of the Dead or Hot Fuzz.
Right.
Which is sad because you kind of, it's hard to beat those.
Okay. So as far as the three movies go, this one is probably the most like personable.
Yeah.
Like they're the most developed characters, I feel, as far as like, it's more about the characters than the comedy.
Yeah, but like the amount of weird jokes that are like kind of crammed in there, it feels like
it's kind of forced.
It feels like some of the jokes are like forced in there. I don't know. It's a very weird feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I gotta watch it a second time. Like I said, I only saw it the once, and I want to watch it a second time because Shaun of the Dead was better the second time. Hot Fuzz, like those movies, just got better the more times you watched it. So I'm like, I only saw this one once. And I thought it was okay. So I'm like, I want to watch it again to see if I get more now that I know what it's about.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I still enjoyed it. I gave it an 8.
Nice.
So, yeah. Watch that one. And, okay. Of course, speaking of, I did watch Hot Fuzz as well.
Yeah. And this is the first... I watched it August 2018.
It was that long ago?
That's like only like 4 months ago.
But I feel like I just...
6 months ago.
I feel like you just watched it like a month ago.
Yeah, it was August.
No.
I know. It wasn't. It was August.
Did you watch it again since then, maybe?
With Kristen. Not Kristen.
Carrie?
Watched it with Carrie in August.
That was August.
Yeah. We've been dating for over a year now.
The fuck?
And that was toward the middle-ish...
Okay.
Time. Yeah.
I swear, like, I came home and you were watching it, like,
a month ago. It was before Christmas.
I feel like it was in the winter.
It was well before Christmas.
All right. Well, I believe you, I guess. But Hot Fuzz, Jason talked about it.
Because I didn't watch it twice since the podcast.
Okay.
Scott Pilgrim, I probably did.
Yeah.
I know I did. I watched it more than twice since the podcast. I just didn't count it each time.
Well, Jason talked about it in when? August 2018.
Yeah. It is a fun buddy cop movie.
Yeah. It's my hilarious. It's probably my favorite comedy movie.
Like, Shaun of the Dead is a great movie. This one, I feel, is more quotable.
Yeah, I quoted
all the time. There's so many good quotes in it.
Just one quote, actually.
Just the one quote.
It's
a big bushy beard.
Great big bushy beard.
Funny because the one girl in that won an Oscar this year. And I'm like, oh, she was amazing. She was in Peep Show. She was in Hot Fuzz. And he's like, who is she in Hot Fuzz? I'm like, the perverted lady? He's like, oh my God, that was her. She was hilarious.
Like a little girl on girl.
And she's an Oscar winner now. Thank God. She's funny.
She's awesome. Hot Fuzz, it's one of my favorite comedy movies. I gave it a 9.5. I'll watch that whenever, man. I love that movie.
Speaking of comedy movies, this one should have been one. I watched Tag.
Oh, fuck you.
So we saw trailers. I don't know why I watched it.
I don't know either. You told me you watched it, and I was like,
why?
I even said, I'm like, I might watch it if we're like with a bunch of friends and we're drinking and it's on.
Yeah.
I might watch it.
I was just like, oh, it's on HBO. Huh. Might as well watch it before my HBO expires.
Like, I would watch it if I was sitting in this chair and you turned it on and went, I don't want to move. Then I'd watch
it. I just remember we saw the trailer and we're like, this looks dumb. And then every time the trailer came on again, we're like, really?
But every time we saw it, people in the audience were losing their shit.
Yeah. So, in case you haven't heard of this...
What kind of bitch drinks hazelnut?
Yep. That happens.
Yeah.
This movie, in case you haven't heard of it, is about a bunch of grown-ass men playing tag. So they've been playing the same game since they've been kids.
Based on a true story, apparently.
Yeah. And I get annoyed because it's like, okay, we got to show the best parts of the movie in the trailer. They show, like, almost the end of the movie, because the wedding is the end of the movie, if you've seen the trailer, where he's running up the aisle to tag him when he's at the altar. Because you know that's going to happen, even though they say it's not going to. I don't know. There were so many, like, if you think watching grown men play tag is funny, then you're going to love this movie. I just didn't understand. I mean, there's a lot of choreographed stuff where they're trying to tag. And there's a lot of... I shouldn't say a lot. There's a couple points in the movie where it goes into inner monologue. And it's just weird because it doesn't happen anywhere else in the movie. Like that hazelnut part.
Yeah.
And then there's another part where he's like using the tablecloth to like spin the guy around. He's like, there's no skin-on-skin contact, so this doesn't count. And blah, blah, blah. Like inner monologue and how they're playing the game of tag.
Yeah.
And then there's people who want to play and they're not playing, and that's funny. There's seems to be a lot of improvised jokes that don't land, but they used them anyway. The end, there's like a twist at the end that's dumb, and it makes you go, well, this is fucking dumb. It was... like... I laughed once, and it was, like, the first 5 minutes of the movie. And then I'm like, okay. And then they didn't have comedy like that again throughout the rest of the movie? I don't know, because at the beginning, they're introducing each character individually. And that's probably the most entertaining part. And then, like, once they're a group, they're like, oh, we're playing tag. We got to team up and get this guy who's never been it this entire time. And apparently... this lady's following around because she's writing an article about it because she finds it interesting, which is probably what the story is. It is based on the story. Oh, at the end of the movie that you see the people it's based on, there's like 15 people playing the game. And there's like 5 in the movie. And I just think, I don't know how to say this without being offensive. The 15 people are all white males.
Okay. I don't know what you're trying to...
Because they had to mix it up for the movie so they weren't racist because there's mixed races in the movie.
Because it's Hannibal Buress is in it.
Yeah. Time is a construct.
Yeah.
I gave it a 4.
Oof.
Yeah. If I knew it was that bad, I wouldn't have watched it in the first place. Even though I'm like, this looks dumb, I'll give it a shot. I've been surprised. And I wasn't.
Well, people don't agree with your score. 6.6.
On IMDb?
Yeah.
What is the Rotten Tomatoes say?
Metacritic is 56, so that's
closer. So that's closer to mine.
Based on a true story, we're not kidding. Thanks, fucking tagline. Yeah.
Tag, you're it. Where is it? Ed Helms. 57% splat.
Splat. So you're close.
Let me see what their average is. Well, that's right. They got rid of that. Oh, I hate you, Rotten Tomatoes, for changing the... They got rid of the average score, like, out of 10. Which is the number I always used.
Okay.
Because the percentage is just percentage of people who thought it was better than 5 out of 10.
Oh.
So, like, if they thought it was above a 50%, so, like, if they thought this movie was 60% good,
yeah,
it's considered a tomato. If it's 40%, it's a splat. So the 57% is 50%.
Thought it was good.
Thought it was, yeah, good.
Yeah.
Not good, because there's a difference between a 10 good and a 7 good.
Well, that, but still, it's a black and white, like.
Right, but before it used to say the average rating was a 7.4 out of 10,
okay,
or a 5.5 out of 10. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't have that anymore. They got rid of that. It just does the percentage now. So Metacritic's a better place to go.
Actually, I heard Metacritic is like way, everyone hates. Well, it's way lower than...
Well, the thing is, Metacritic, they don't have near... Like, there's 182 people reviewed this movie.
Yeah.
Metacritic, there's probably 10.
Yeah? I thought it was like a mixture of everything.
No, they don't have nearly as many critics reviewing on their site. That's why the score is so skewed.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I gave it a 4. It was, yeah, then we come to the, I don't know how we want to do this.
All right, so last month, in a little bit, we're going to play this. Last month, Jason picked a movie, and we knew nothing about the movie.
Right, we just saw the cover.
And we read the little taglines on the front.
Yeah, we saw the picture, the title of the movie, the taglines on the front. We didn't read the back.
No.
We just looked at the front.
Yeah.
And we came up with the movie.
We tried guessing.
This movie's called Drawing Flies.
Yeah.
So we described, we basically reviewed the movie before seeing it.
So this right here is what we had last time, just for a review.
But this one is called Drawing Flies.
Okay.
And the word drawing flies looks like a footprint.
Yeah.
And it kind of looks like a Sasquatch.
Yeah.
Right there. It looks like a guy in a hoodie. I don't know. But on the cover, it says, Jason Lee starring in Drawing Flies from producer Kevin Smith. A good monster is a terrible thing to waste. This is the catchphrase. And it stars Jason Mewes, Renee Humphrey, and Carmen Lee.
Okay.
Renee Humphrey was the girl who had sex with a lot of people in Mallrats.
Okay.
I don't know who Carmen Lee is. Yeah, so it's Viewskew presents Drawing Flies. So Jason Lee, so we'll just like bounce back and forth. So I'm assuming Jason Lee is a photographer and he is searching for Bigfoot. Drawing flies makes me think something's dead.
Yeah.
So maybe he finds a dead Bigfoot?
My theory is he finds a dead Bigfoot, but a good monster is a terrible thing to waste.
So then he weakened at Bernie's.
I think he weakened at Bernie's as a Sasquatch and takes photographs of it because on the front, the other three actors are in Polaroid pictures.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing he like props up the Sasquatch, the dead Sasquatch, and like takes photos and sells them.
Because this looks like the classic picture.
Yeah, the silhouette, yeah.
But it doesn't look like a Sasquatch to me.
Or maybe
it looks like a guy in a hoodie or sweatpants.
Maybe it is an actual just dead homeless person and he's pretending it's Sasquatch because he's super hairy or something.
Yeah. I think he's trying to fool people into thinking Sasquatch is real. And he's not.
Unless drawing flies is a term saying like he's trying to draw
attention.
Like, attention, and like by drawing flies, like the people are flies, like just to pay him.
So either way, we think Jason Lee is a photographer. We agree on that. And it has something to do with Sasquatch.
And a dead body.
And a dead body. So he's using a dead body to fake Sasquatches.
Or it actually is Sasquatch.
Yeah. Well, either way, he's using a dead body to take Sasquatch pictures. And he's trying to fool these people who look like they're all on the same beach.
And the picture of him on the front cover, it looks almost like he's in front of a camera, like a maybe documentary. It's like a Blair Witch type thing, or like a something's on him.
Yeah, good monster is a terrible thing to waste. So maybe he killed somebody bad, and then he used their body for Sasquatch. I don't know, but that's our description of the movie. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so that's what we thought the movie was.
Yeah.
Then we watched it, and that was a better better movie.
That's what you said.
Even though we had, like, my favorite part is that we said, oh, he's definitely a photographer.
Yeah.
Or something like that. We said, like,
yeah,
that's the one thing we agree on, that he's definitely a photographer in this.
Yeah. And that Sasquatch,
there's nothing.
And that Sasquatch was somewhat involved.
Which we were right.
Kind of, yeah.
Sasquatch is kind of involved. Okay, so...
Oh, fuck this movie.
It's not the worst movie I watched this month.
No, but I just... It was...
Okay, so this, just to clarify, this is a View Askew movie. So Kevin Smith...
They produced it.
Right.
Yes.
Kevin Smith helped produce and market this movie. It was a movie that wouldn't have been made without Kevin Smith's help. I think it was Scott Mosier that made the movie.
Probably.
Anyway, it's about a group of friends who go to the cheesiest bar.
They're a bunch of freeloaders.
Yeah. It's a bunch of people at... What are you scratching at? It's a bunch of... like. Okay, so they're in this bar. People are getting drunk.
It was just a party. It was like a house party.
Oh, that's probably why it looks like the worst bar ever.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't realize it was a house party. Because
they're charging them to get in.
Yeah, I just thought it was a bad set.
Oh no, they're like, because then they're cleaning up afterwards and picking up cups and stuff. No, they got a keg because
they had the bar.
Yeah, at the very beginning they're talking about like they go for they try to get like welfare type thing, like,
yeah, because one guy got money and the rest of them didn't.
Yeah, and then the people in the house. They threw a party and charged people $10 to get in, and so then they just had like a cup of beer, mm-hmm. like just unlimited beer, because that's when they said that like we didn't even make enough to cover the beer.
Mm.
So like they threw a party to try to to get money because they don't really have jobs or anything.
So then they go to their cabin.
They
do a road trip. Why were they going up there?
Because at the very beginning of the movie, like the fucking party takes 15 minutes, mm-hmm. I swear to God. And it's just Kevin Smith. Like, it's the kind of Kevin Smith, like, oh, Velma was the most important Scooby-Doo character because this. I think Shaggy would do this. Shaggy's a piece of shit. He would do this. Well, I think Velma. And like, okay, yeah, we get it. Oh, more of this. I think this band's great. Fuck this band. You probably think listen to that hippie shit. And like, well, okay, yeah. This kind of talking for like 15 minutes. But then Jason Lee's character watches like the $6 million man. He's like, oh, this is an episode of the where he finds the Bigfoot or whatever. He's like, Sasquatch. She's like, all right, fine. And then she goes to bed. You're like, the fuck's that all about? Cat, stop chewing the cords.
The podcast goes off the air because he chewed it off.
So then, like, then he decides, you know what? Our landlord could kick us out any day because we haven't paid for our like rent or whatever. So he's like, let's just go camping. My uncle's got a cabin up north. Okay.
So then they go on a road trip, and it's like the longest road trip ever. And I don't know. Do you want to give the twist away? It's not really a twist.
It's not really a twist because like he's mentioned Sasquatch right away, and then he's like, oh, where is it? Oh, it's over here. Can I see the map? No, you can't see the map.
Right. And he's like, oh, it'll be easier to go on foot this way. And then he's like digging through the ground and stuff. And it's like, then you find out that he's like, oh, there's no cabin. There's no cabin. We're just out here looking for Bigfoot. And then everyone gets pissed at him. And then twist, he's either hallucinating or he actually finds Bigfoot at the end.
So I think he's like at the very beginning when he sees Bigfoot in the house, he's like high as shit.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So who knows? He could have been high as shit at the end of the movie too.
But most of the movie was just like them walking and like complaining about things.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it was like a bad version of Blair Witch.
Yeah, it was. But and then like the part where they come across these people.
That yeah, the one in the diapers.
Yeah, the diapers, and like they just put that like it feels like they wrote the script and went. We need to add some crazy thing in here. Like, this is the crazy part of the movie, how silly and crazy it is. We're in diapers. Look how weird these characters are. And you're like, I know what you're trying to do. Don't. Don't.
They had to make it unique.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like, oh, they're wearing diapers.
Great. Unique.
Pretend to be babies. Whatever. I was bored out of my goddamn mind while watching this movie.
Yeah.
The acting was... not good. Jason Mewes is not a good actor.
No.
He never has been, and this is before he got better. This is before he got to where he's at now. Jason Lee is like, this is like one of his first movies, if not his first movie.
So, okay, so, and then obviously our version was better, that Weekend at Bernie's with a Sasquatch would have been a way better movie.
Yeah.
So, I gave it a 5.5.
I gave it a 4.
Oh, that's my tag.
Yeah.
So, this segment...
I almost gave it a 3, but I didn't get angry at it. I didn't get angry
So, I'm going to do this. Okay. So, this part of the podcast where we review a movie before seeing it...
Yeah.
We got to think of a name.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I'm going to say this. If you guys come up with a good name... like, send email. What's your email that you're for this?
StuffbySkott.
StuffbySkott@gmail.com. Send your suggestions for this segment, and we'll pick a winner, and that person gets this movie. I will give them Drawing Flies as their prize. I know we gave it a horrible review, but I don't want this movie.
Oh.
And it's a prize. So we'll send it to you if you're nowhere near, or if we know who you are, we'll hand it to you. But if I'll mail it. I don't care.
And who knows? This next movie for March, if it's bad, if I don't like it, maybe I'll do the same with this movie.
Yeah. We'll turn this into a little contest.
And speaking of...
and then, by the time we get a name, we'll probably run out of ideas for this and not do it anymore.
All right. So, I have a whole bunch of movies. Jason, give me a number between 1 and 10.
3. I said 3. Right, I was just making sure.
Yeah.
I'm pretty quiet on here.
Realized. All right. So, the movie I picked, or you picked, is a movie called...
Heirloom.
Heirloom.
What the fuck? Is that chainsaws hanging from the ceiling?
Those are nooses.
Oh, mine's better.
Okay.
Just kidding.
All right.
We're already off to a stellar start.
So...
you gotta peel the sticker off for the tagline.
Yeah. So it's a...
it's an Asian?
It's a Tartan Asia Extreme movie called The Heirloom. The front cover shows a hallway with a bunch of nooses hanging down. And you can see the legs of someone hanging down.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, so there's a bunch of nooses.
Yeah.
Some legs hanging and an arm. So, like, this person's obviously hanging.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, this weird little bucket with a drawing of a girl on it.
Or is it a jar?
It's a jar. And it says, every family has a secret.
Okay.
I'm trying to figure out what the hell is going on with the door in the back.
It's a door. It's open.
It looks small.
Maybe it's a big hallway.
Like, but look how tall the door is.
Maybe it's at an angle.
Oh, maybe.
Because maybe it's like, yeah, because maybe it's like, it's at an angle, so the door is like, it's, instead of like this, it's like this.
Okay. So this is called Heirloom. So I'm guessing this little jar that has a painted girl's face on it is a thing that gets sent down from generation to generation. And if you open the jar, you die, like the Happening style.
I'm not reading the back, the plot. I'm reading the
splash.
Yeah. Dave Canfield from Twitch Film says, it's dark and disturbing. The Heirloom truly horrifies. And then Todd David Schwartz of CBS says 3 out of 4 stars, deliciously disturbing. So nothing really helpful there.
No. It's, there's no names. There's no... There's one picture. There's not, like, a little sub-picture.
It's not rated. It's a genre of horror. It's from Taiwan.
It just says Asian Scream DTS. But, yeah. So, it's inside this house. I'm assuming that this jar is passed down from generation to generation. You're not supposed to look in it. And if you look in it, you end up dying, like... happening style.
It is called the heirloom, so I'm wondering if that jar is the heirloom.
Right. Isn't an heirloom a thing that gets passed down?
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah. Every family has a secret. So, I think there's something...
Something's in that jar.
I think... I'm going to guess there's something involving the jar that it's something like that...
Severed hand or something.
Because this is Asia, and They're very, what is it called? Proper, honorable.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So I think every family has a secret, and someone's hanging. So I think that this could be a thing where this
person died, and they're like, "Oh, this has to get to somebody."
And but it, like it brings shame to their whole family. So once they figure out the secret, then they kill themselves.
Yeah. Or my other extreme is this person died, and they're like, "She's got no family. Where does this thing go?"
Ooh, that's a sneaky trick.
You know what I mean?
Because why are there so many other...
There's a ton of nooses on the cover. There's at least six.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
it's hard to tell with the shadows.
There's at least 7.
And then 8 if you count the one that's off-screen with the body attached.
Yeah.
So either this heirloom gets passed down to generation, causing people to die, or they don't know what to do with it. Was this person died? But I don't think that second one's right, though.
What if this thing, they're like, yeah, like someone dies, and they go, oh, we need to get this person to the next of kin. And the longer it takes them to get there, the more haunting shit happens, more people die, because the spirit's angry that it's not going to someone in their family.
Yeah. I think whatever's inside it makes people die.
I just ripped it.
Uh-oh.
Eh. I got this Hollywood video when they went out of business.
Uh-oh. So, yeah, that's Heirloom. We'll review it for real next week.
Yeah, next month.
Next week, month. Goddamn. Month's not that
God
fast.
Goddamn.
Not that fast of a month. It's only a first. So, as far all the movies I watched, we'll do the worst movie. The worst movie I watched this month was Tag with a 4.
The worst movie I watched was Drawing Flies with a 4.
And then the best movie I watched this month was It's a Mad, 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 Mad World with a 9.5.
The best one I watched was Hot Fuzz with a 9.5.
Both funny movies.
Both funny. Stuffbyscott@gmail.com if you have any questions, concerns, comments, suggestions.
Recommendations.
Yeah, all that stuff. But other than that,
that's a wrap.
This is a Scott Does Stuff podcast.